Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for the weekly Daily Gizwiz is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for the weekly Daily Gizwiz is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. It's time for the weekly Daily Gizwiz with Matt's maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo. This is episode 1362, recorded April 21st, 2012. Earth Day Gadgets. The weekly Daily Gizwiz is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/twit. And now, get ready for Dick. Sign is in place. Check. I've got my headphones on. Check. Dick DiBartolo is in the house. Check.
Check.
All the audience members have left. Check. It's time for the show. I've invented, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Dick, a new dance, the Weekly Daily Gizwiz. The Weekly Daily Gizwiz. The Weekly Daily Gizwiz.
Nice.
Yeah, it's that like YMCA.
That is CD quality. Yep. I think you should get Rhino Records.
Yes. The Weekly. So everybody, when you hear the jingle, you now have to form the letters Weekly Daily Gizwiz. W.
I.
D. No, I was just doing WGD Jabba-G.
W-G-G-W. That's good.
I got a stitch in my side. All that exercise. Hello there, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing, pal?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to Norway, you know.
Ooh.
Maybe you didn't hear.
You know, I think it would have been cheaper to just pay your taxes and not move. But do what you want.
You know, have you been watching? You probably haven't. Lilyhammer?
No.
It's on Netflix.
I have it in my queue, but yeah. I have not been watching.
So it's little Stevie, Steve Van Zandt of the fame, Bruce Springsteen, and the Sopranos fame. Because, next Tuesday, you're going to see Bruce Springsteen. Eli's all excited. He's going to see Bruce Springsteen. He had to come in running in and tell me that. Does Stevie still play in the band? Wow. That's neat. But he also has a pretty good acting career going. He was in the Sopranos. What was the name of the character he played in the Sopranos? It was one of the gangsters. Let me see if I can Van Zandt. Let me just see if I can find. Anyway, here's a picture of him in the Sopranos. You'll recognize him there.
I bought pizza from him this afternoon.
Yeah, I know. He's perfect for that show. And although his name is Van Zandt, which makes me think he's Dutch, not Italian, but he sure got the look, doesn't he? And then, so this new show, Lillehammer, he plays basically the same character, except this time he's entered into the witness protection program. And they say, where do you want to go?
As we should be.
By the way, this is what he looks like when he's playing with the boss, with Bruce Springsteen. Doesn't look like anything like that. You know, he's cool looking, right? But so, in fact, he wears a do-rag for some reason. I don't think he wears that in the Sopranos. Anyway, so in this, he plays basically the same character, except that he's in the witness protection program, and they're relocating him. And they say, well, where would you like to go? And he says, Lillehammer. And they say, where? And he says, Lillehammer. They said, why would you? It's in Norway. Why? It's freezing. Why would you want to go to Lillehammer? He says, I saw it on the Winter Olympics. It looked clean. So they sell him to Lillehammer, and it's freezing, and he becomes friends. You know, his neighbor is the chief of police. It's actually a very funny show. I've watched the first few episodes, and it's just really great. Just really great. So that's mostly what I know about Norway. I asked on the air yesterday, actually on the Twitter, I asked, how do you say, I said, usually when I go somewhere, I know a little bit about the country. I know nothing. I don't even know how to say hello, goodbye, thank you. I don't even know what kind of money they use. And fortunately, thanks to the Twitter, I now know that hello is hey, thank you.
That's easy.
Thank you is tak. And I don't know what goodbye is. But I don't plan on saying goodbye.
Untalk.
Untalk. TikTok. And then TikTok. And then the money, I thought maybe it was a euro, but not. They're not part of the European Union. The money is the Norwegian kroner or a crown. And it's worth $5.72. No, I'm sorry. It's the other way around. $1 is worth 5.72 kroners.
Oh, that's good.
So that, yeah, well, I don't know if it's good or bad. I do know that booze is very expensive there. I've been told, bring your own booze.
And how are you going to do that?
Well, this is what our host, Mikkel Olland, who's the Norwegian photographer who's bringing us, told us to do. He said, when you get to the airport early and go to the duty-free shop and stock up,
okay,
and then bring it on the plane because he says it's very expensive. So bring your own.
Okay, so yeah. It's an educational trip.
Yes. Apparently butter is expensive, too, so I'll bring my own butter as well.
Oh, yeah, that's good. And eggs. And I mean, why not?
I come from Petaluma bearing butter and eggs. Anyway, it's BYOB. That's right. Anyway, it's going to be... I'm very excited. It's freezing cold there because we're not going to Oslo on the East Coast. We're going to the Central... West Coast. I mean, it's pretty far north. We're going to a little tiny town called Kristiansund, and that's because we're going to the Nordic Light Festival in Kristiansund. It's a very small town. I don't know if it's a tourist attraction or what.
It will be.
It's yes, and it, but it, well, it's beautiful. It's in the islands, you know. So it's right here. It would be in the top of the spoon bowl of Norway, and apparently very cold, 47 degrees today with a low of 37 degrees. It's colder than it was all year in New York.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's very true.
So
yeah, 73 now.
Yeah, so it's where the first Norwegians were. So. It's going to be... I can't wait. I don't know what the food is like there, though. I think there's a lot of fish, but I don't know.
I think it's going to be on the Norwegian side.
Somewhat Norwegian.
I'm not an international traveler.
Yeah.
Norwegian-y, I think it would be.
Norwegian-y.
Yeah.
It's 47 degrees Fahrenheit. It's 5 degrees centigrade. 4 or 5 degrees. It's very chilly. Very chilly. And you know what it is here in Petaluma right now? It's 90 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful. So, anyway, enough about my travels. What we're trying to decide is what to do next Saturday when we normally do the Gizwiz. I won't be here. Scott Wilkinson will be doing I'm sorry. Web2957 says, once again, it's all about Leo. Yeah. What did you think it was all about? Of course. So, no, it's all about David Letterman. This is the David Letterman channel. Yeah. This Week in Letterman. what was I saying? I forgot. Anyway.
Scott Wilkinson.
Scott Wilkinson will be, thank you. He'll be filling in for me on the Tech Guy. And I was thinking maybe, you know, initially, because the last time I was gone, you did this great match game thing, and it was really fun. But maybe we'll get Scott to do the, I don't know. We haven't decided. I'll see if Scott wants to do the Gizwiz.
See if he feels like doing it because I'm up for it.
But enough about me. What about you? How has your week been?
My week was good. My boat has been fixed and is up and running.
Oh, how exciting.
And so Myra and I and Dennis and Bob Kyler, the guy who fixed it, we're going to go for a boat ride after the show.
What was wrong with it? Was it broken?
No, you know what? It would run and stall, and it was unreliable. You couldn't leave the dock because it would run for 3 minutes. And anyway, Bob found out that there's a there's a harness that goes from the back of the boat into the engine, and everything is in there, the shifter cables and all the electric wiring and everything. And anyway, since the engine's 10 years old, the harness was starting to weigh down on the gas line. And so it sometimes would let gas go through and run. Sometimes it would let gas trickle through and the boat would sort of run. Anyway, Bob put a copper pipe inside the regular hose so that now gas will flow uncontrollably.
Well, that's good. Does that mean it moves faster or it bursts into flame?
Well, at least it will move. No. Yeah. Well, we're going to, you know, he put it in this afternoon. So Myra's brave enough for us to give it a trial tonight. Yeah.
Yay. Yay. I see Myra. I think I see Myra right behind you.
Myra's there and Bob Kylo is sitting.
She's also in the witness protection program. So we've got
us. Yep, she is. Oh, and that's Bob.
Right. Hey, Bob. There. All right.
Right. And I can show you one little quickie thing. You know, people bring you gifts. Well, Bob found this neat little thing. He found someone selling on the street New York City subway cars.
Wow, they're a lot smaller than I thought they'd be.
Yeah, you know, that's part of the crowding reason. yeah. And then when you push the little button on the roof.
Attention, platform one. Oh. The train system
is approaching.
Please stand clear of the platform edge.
Mind the gap.
Isn't that cute?
That's really great.
And it lights up. Yeah, it's very clever.
That is really neat. So now, can that fit on your existing track or?
No, actually, it's looks like it's HO gauge, and my stuff is G.
Oh,
but it's great for a shelf.
Yeah, no kidding. You don't care. You're not picky.
No, no, I just like things that look like trains.
In fact, I bet G is hard to find because it's kind of big.
G is easy to find, wildly expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is that the woman's voice that it actually is the subway lady, or is that somebody?
No, I think it's somebody.
Yeah, because I could understand her. Usually it sounds like
yes, exactly. You know, it's very funny, Leah. I was once at Innovations down at Disneyland.
Right.
Disneyland.
The actual Disneyland, yes.
Yeah, the real Disneyland. And I was doing a thing for ABC News on new inventions. And this PR guy comes over and goes, I have this new double-balanced rear-facing amplifying triathlon device that I think you're... And I said, sir, I don't even know what you're saying. So anyway, as I'm walking around the show... I see a booth that says the Subway Clear Announcement Speaker System.
Oh.
And I went over to the person and I said, this is a great idea. And the PR person came over and said to me, oh, I thought you weren't interested in this. I said, are you possibly describing the same thing?
Wait a minute, Dick. You can't look at it. You said you didn't want to. Oh, that is funny. Oh, my God.
It's
hysterical. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly the way it is. And then, you know, I turned to someone once one day and I said, did they say spaghetti? I'm not sure.
In the French railway, it's actually, let me see if I could find a French railway announcement, because they play this great little sound. And it goes, dun, dun, da, da. And then it's you could tell she's a gorgeous French girl saying, you know, what's going on. And they say it in French, which is very romantic. And then in English, let me see if I don't know if this will be it. This is on YouTube. Doesn't she sound hot?
Yeah.
And then love that.
We have jumped the track and we'll be in this tunnel for 7 hours. But it sounds.
It sounds now you can understand that. Even if it's in a foreign language, I can understand it.
Oh, yeah, in the subway. Yeah, keep your hands and feet out of the subway doors. It's perfect.
But I just love that. Bum, bum, bum. Let me play it one more time.
Numéro 7000.
I just love this. I have to zip it back here. It's like singing.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, yeah. Well, the New York City subway system, it's similar. It just starts with, yo.
Yay. Yo. Hey, there, take your hands off the door. I'm trying to move here. I think the Japanese Metro announcements are quite beautiful, too. I don't know for sure, but the only reason I say so is because I have a sound set for my my instant messenger that's Japanese. Let me see if this is it. This Japanese. Oh, my God. They're jamming in there. Look at that. There's actually a guy in white gloves. He's going to shove people. Look at that. Yes. He's going to shove them in once they.
And then they start pushing.
Okay, push, heave. Look at that. He's jammed. They're jamming people into the subway. Look at that. At least he's wearing white gloves. That is horrible.
These last 5 minutes in New York City.
This is hysterical. I've heard that that happens. Wait a minute. Here comes another one. Here comes another guy. They couldn't get them all in. Look at this. another guy wanders in. Oh, let me help. Oh, wait a minute. I wasn't on the camera. Oh, my goodness. This is crazy.
Oh, another guy.
Another guy comes in.
Four
guys jamming for. We have to describe this. Oh, they got the door closed. Look, they got them all in. Can you imagine what it's like in that train, though?
No.
And look, he's jamming in pieces of clothing with their white gloves. Okay, all good.
That is absolutely.
I think I won't be taking the metro in that. Look! Oh, quick, get this one in! Oh, he's really sticking out! Oh, look at that fat butt. Okay, push it. All right, we got it. They have actually hired at the Japanese subway stations 4 or 5 guys in nice little outfits with white gloves to jam.
Look at that car! People pressed up against doors.
What is your job? Oh, I push people into subway cars.
Yeah, if What's My Line was still on the air, I could book him
that
in a minute.
That would be good. I don't think I have to worry about that in Christensen. I'm just thinking.
No.
All right, I'm so sorry. I got completely sidetracked, and I apologize to everybody listening at home. They're called Oshia, apparently.
He who must push, I think is the translation.
He who must push. Oshia. Corgan knows about this. Mick says they did that when my wife and kids and I were in Tokyo. My daughter wound up on top of people, and the entire trip she never did get her feet back on the ground.
Oh my, that is just bizarre.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like if the subway stalls, I would go berserk.
Now let's play. This is a Long Island Railway. Just to give you an example of how it sounds in New York, here's the Long Island Railroad.
Grade Crossing Elimination Project in Mineola will be completed during the weekend of April 25th and the 22nd.
Actually, he's pretty good.
This work will allow Long Island Railroad trains to travel over Harris Road on a new rail bridge and new tracks. Starting at 11 p.m. Friday.
That wasn't so bad. I can understand.
No. But they're endless because they have this new. They're doing this new thing called Fast Track. And instead of doing the tracks a little every night, they just close down huge sections of the subway for overnight, starting at 10 and ending at 8 the next morning. And when you get on the train, it says the number 5 will not be running after 10 p.m., but take the 7 bus, transfer at 42nd Street, get the L line that'll take you to Brooklyn, where you'll get a free transfer. And I go, what are you kidding
here's the Lexington. This is the number 6 Lexington.
This is a Bowling Green bound 6 train. That's the not next bad. Stop is Fulton.
That's the new lady.
This is one of the new subway cars that are beautiful.
Oh.
They're all stainless. Ooh. They have the subway map. And as the train goes, the dots on the map light up. And then
that's neat. So you know where you are. Yeah.
And there's a readout that says what the next station is. Those are great.
I have to say, people sometimes, I think, especially in Manhattan, are reluctant to use the subway. It's the best way to get around because there's no traffic. No. I love the subway. And you can get everywhere easily, inexpensively. I always take the metro in Paris. I like underground transportation.
Yeah. And they've now installed signs. How many minutes to the next train? And they're very accurate. It's really.
I don't think I'm going to go on the subway in Tokyo, though. At least not during rush hour. That was crazy.
That was really
insane. All right, gadget number one, which has nothing
gadget
to
number
do.
One, okay,
with any of
this week was Earth Day, and in some places they called it Earth Week. So there were two events. One was EcoFest. And another event was the Green Products Show. So from EcoFest, I found something new from Lutron. You know the name Lutron, right?
Lutron, I do, yeah.
Yeah, and they make?
They make, like, light switches and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
I think I have what you have. Do you have a cough, and then are you itchy?
No.
I think I have what you have. Go ahead. It's for the iPhone.
No. This is something totally new.
Oh, because Lutron sent me something. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, that they're in a whole different division now. They've introduced something called Serena Remote Control Shades.
Oh, I don't know about this.
And, yeah, this is interesting because the PR lady said it is the first and only right now battery operated shade system, so that you can put the shades in with and not worry about any kind of electrical wiring. I said, yeah, but running on batteries, how long could they last?
Right.
She said, depending on the width, it either takes 4D batteries or 6D batteries, and going up and down twice a day. Every day of the year, the D batteries will last 3 years.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, I think it was great. And she said they have a special circuitry that if one set of batteries in one window are wearing down and you put fresh batteries in a different window, this little thing will actually make sure that the shades always move at the exact same speed.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. So they start at $299, and it's any window 3 by 5 feet. And you go online and you tell them their measurements. And I said to her, well, you know, I think this is a great idea, but why are you at EcoFest? And she said, well, they are cellular shades. And she showed me the side of one so that they actually are an air barrier shade. So in the summer, it keeps the sun from bringing the heat indoors, and in the winter holds the heat in so you don't have heat escaping through the windows. It's really neat. And they offer remote control, two different systems, RF remote control or IR.
I want this. I want this for my new home theater that I'm building in my room, that I can press a button and everything would go. Boom. Zoom.
Yes. Yes, and they make it in three different fabrics, three different darknesses.
They do have a blackout. They have a blackout.
Yes, one of them is blackout.
Wow.
And the IR, if you want, you can program your regular remote control and just add this.
Have an iPhone app too. It looks like
they do. Yeah.
Wow, that is so cool.
And she said that they have almost 100 shades, so you can match the decor of your room. And I think it's pretty nifty. It's $15 extra for the remote. And I said, well, why $15 extra? And she said, well, you know what? We really don't know how many remotes people want. They may want, one
buy
remote.
Buy more than one, let's put it that way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the remotes, I think she said, were $15 to $20.
And so Dr. Mom says she's going to send me a robot for my snacks. So I could just sit in the chair, close the shades, lower the screen, turn on the TV, and the robot will bring me my snacks, and I'll never move again.
Perfect.
Thank you, Dr. Mom. You knew.
You knew how to kill him faster and faster. I think they're pretty swell. They're at Serena Shades, S-E-R-E-N-A Shades.
Yeah.
SerenaShades.com.
They have a bunch of information
and
so forth. Yeah. What a good idea.
I thought so, too.
Yeah, I like that. And I like it, their eco, that they're... You know, because they're made out of grass or something.
Yeah,
right?
Hemp.
I think they're made out of hemp.
Hemp.
All right. I can have battery-powered or plug-in adapter. I'm going to get battery power.
Well, yeah, yes, you can buy a little 12-volt, I'm not even sure what the voltage is, but it plugs into the wall.
But then
and
they
then
don't
into
have
the
wires.
Shade. Or
you
can
have,
the thing yeah. is, yeah, the thing is, if six batteries or four batteries, depending on the size of your shade, can last 3 years, why bother?
Why not? Yeah.
Right. And she showed me that, you know, they hang this the same way you'd hang a picture, and it's pretty neat, pretty easy to do.
And it looks like they go as high as, or as wide as 82 inches, and then you can have the thickness, and the height goes as high as, 82. So you could have, you could have, I mean, that's what, 82 inches is 7 feet.
7 feet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's neat. And then lots of fabric styles. I'm actually going through it right now. You can get the light filtering single cell that transforms harsh daylight into a soft filtered glow, or the room darkening, or the double cell, which is kind of neat. Some light goes in.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But it never comes out.
It bounces
around. The light
around.
Goes in.
Yes.
But it never comes out.
Very nice. All right, that's gadget number one. Now we have a video. Speaking of
Leo. Yeah. Well, Leo, you are going to freak out when you see this video. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about how long it takes a product to get to market? Well, here's a product that you, I think, will recognize. And it was very noisy in there, so I brought the guy out into the hall. So there's a bit of an echo. But tell me if this product does not ring a bell with you. And here it is from Echo Fest.
Dick DiBartolo, Mads, Maddest Rider, and the GizWiz with this week's weekly daily GizWiz video. You know, it's Earth Day or Earth Week or Earthworm something. Anyway, whatever it is, we're at an Earth event, and we're talking about saving energy. And I ran into Tim, and Tim was carrying something. I said, Tim, this looks vaguely familiar.
It should. Your viewers have seen this before. Your viewers have seen a previous version of this.
Oh, okay. At CES, right?
That's right. At CES, this is the N-Power Peg. It's the world's first passive kinetic energy charger for handheld electronics.
Is this the thing you wear and generate electric?
That's right. If you put this in your bag, briefcase, or backpack and you walk, it will harvest your kinetic energy.
Oh, you don't have to wear it.
You can wear it.
You can wear it.
I
okay.
saw you wearing it. I gave it. I put it in your pocket. I think.
Oh,
I did.
Oh yeah! I generated so much electric. This entire building is being powered by just what I generated walking. No.
So you put it in your bag, your briefcase. It's meant to be passive, so you don't have to actually act on it. It just sits in your bag while you do your thing. It does its thing. As you
well,
move,
there has to be a certain amount of movement, right?
It can be any movement at all. Let's show you how it works.
Let's show you
how it works. So, have you heard of Michael Faraday?
I had lunch with him.
Great guy.
Right.
He invented...
Faraday was the...
He was the discoverer of the Faraday effect, which is that a magnet passing through a coil will impart a charge to the coil.
My first guess.
So okay. in the peg is a magnet.
Okay.
There's also a coil. Any kinetic energy going into the peg will move the magnet up and down through a coil. That will generate a charge to the coil. And that charge will go into a battery for use later.
And how big is the battery that's in there?
This is a 2,000 milliamp battery mounted down here.
Okay.
Now, this is double the capacity of the original peg. The original peg had a 1,000 milliamp battery.
Okay. And also, is the unit physically smaller? It looks different.
It's a little bigger.
Oh, it's bigger.
And the reason it's bigger is because we added a hook so that you can hang it off of a tree or you can hang it off of your hammock. Or your backpack, or your belt.
If you put this in a tree and it was rocking.
So let's say this is a tree and it's a windy day,
right.
and this is what's going on. Doesn't look like anything's going on, when in fact,
the tree's doing this.
Right, but sometimes you'll see a.
Oh, okay.
It will harvest just about any movement.
Yeah, that's good.
Movement.
Now. 3 years ago, it was going to sell for $170.
It was going to sell for $159.99. It's now selling for $169.99 because we've doubled the capacity.
Okay, very good. And it's going to be available?
Let's say a month.
Okay, let's say a month. Right. We may be kidding.
There's still a prototype battery or prototype number on here.
Okay.
So we're testing them to make sure they work.
Okay.
And we're hoping within a month they will be ready.
Okay. Tim, your website is?
npowerpeg.com.
npowerpeg.com. So this is pretty nifty. Dick DiBartolo, Mads Maddest Rider, and the GizWiz with the weekly daily GizWiz video, generating power as I talk. Bye.
You're absolutely right. Ray and Stevie D says, if we just hooked one up to Liz as she bounces, or me even, I could probably generate.
Oh, you would generate a lot of electric, Leo.
But yeah. I guess that's really the question is, how long,
Leo,
do you have to bounce to fill
know,
up that battery?
It is long, and I'll tell you, they were. It was a good thing that they did it because they published how long it takes on their website. On the other hand, it's going to make people think, what? So this is it. A minute of walking gives you 1 minute of listening to an iPod Nano.
Well, that's fair. It's 1-to-1. That's not so bad.
1-to-1, yes, but then it gets a little worse. 26 minutes of walking equals 1 minute of talk time on an iPhone using 3G. So that's, I mean, the thing is, if you walk around, if you walk a lot and you throw this in your backpack and you bike a lot and you want to hang this thing, you know, you would over time
or
be generating
one trip
power
on the New York City subway.
Yeah, but Leo, never buy this if you live in Japan, because when they jam you in a subway car, there is no movement. There's no movement.
There's no movement. You're sealed.
Huh. I got out of a Japanese subway, and it was minus energy.
I just floated the whole way home.
Anyway, first introduced at CES in 2009.
You have a good memory that you remembered seeing this.
Yeah, I do. But, well, because it just seems so bizarre.
Yeah, I remember
and then
it
when
now,
I,
though. When you, what,
yeah,
what's
when
that
I saw it at the show, I thought, has it finally hit the marketplace? It seems to be yet another month away.
It's always one month away.
Right. Well, we'll at CES 2013, we'll probably see him there going,
just a month. What month? Just we don't know what month. Year. No, oh, you didn't mention year. Yeah. Well, that's all right. That's good. I think that's cool. There it is, the NPEG Power.
Yes.
And you could find out more at their website, which I think is you just Google
npegpower.com.
npegpower.com. And now, yes. Time for gadget 3.
Oh, they're having stomach trouble. Oh, okay. That was an intro. I got it. Okay, from the Green Product Show. Now, this is not a gadget, but I think this is really a great idea. So I walk over to a booth, and the sign on the booth is the Broken Plate Pendant Company, and their website is ibreakplates.com. So it's just all these broken dishes. So when I first, I said, is this like a joke? Do you take like heirloom plates and put them back together again? And she says, no, I break them further. I smash them with love.
But she enjoys this, actually.
Yeah, yes. But this is why I think it's a great idea. There's a plate in the family. It's been in the family for 100 years.
Clever.
Grandma's plate. They drop it. It breaks. So instead of everybody being depressed and trying to glue it together, which doesn't work,
pendant out of it.
Yes, she takes all the broken pieces.
Oh, that's neat.
And makes jewelry out of it. So that now every member of the family, when someone says, oh, that's unique, what is that? You go, that is a piece of my grandma's 150-year-old gravy server.
Oh, that's
and they said,
neat.
Well, you should have taken the gravy out because there's a big stain on your blouse. But no, I think it's really a great idea. And instead of the whole family being, oh, no, look what we've done. So they make cufflinks, wine bottle caps and stuff with shreds.
They make brass knuckles.
That looks like brass knuckles, doesn't it? I think it is napkin holders, isn't it?
Oh, well, she calls them China knuckles.
China knuckles. Oh, remember China knuckles?
Yeah.
The fighter. He used to fight Jackie Chan.
China knuckles. Oh, China knuckles. These are actually beautiful. She does a very nice
they
job.
They really are. She was wearing some, and she had the display on the table. Strangely enough, they're at ibreakplates.com, and they range from $25 to $65. And they also make matching sets, like if you want something for bridesmaid or something, they can use the same plate and make a lot of jewelry that sort of matches. That's what the picture is up on the screen.
I think that's really cool.
It's a clever idea. I thought so, too.
Yeah, it looks like she's letting them. She's putting lead around them, like leaded glass. Yeah.
She's letting them live.
Letting them survive. Wow. Wow. Really neat. And she sells them on Etsy. So
that's her website.
Yes.
Etsy is one. Yeah, you can get there via ibreakplates.com.
Right.
And then go into the shop, the Etsy shop.
All right, Dick, we're going to do in just a bit my Turn the Table Turkey. Before we do that, though, can I point out that many wonderful films are available for viewing at a very affordable cost at Netflix.com. Surely you've heard me speak.
Oh, yeah. What, like $5 a shot to watch them?
$7.99 a month for unlimited. $5 a shot. That's pennies.
What?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Kramer versus Kramer. I was thinking how much I liked that. 1979, Dustin Hoffman, Meryl Streep. What a great movie that was. Academy Award winner, as I remember. So they got lots of great movies, old and new, although they're a little better on the older stuff. There's newer stuff, too. There's also TV shows. I've been watching The Killing. I stupidly paid for this on demand, and then I realized, wait a minute, the whole thing's on Netflix. It's all on Netflix. The Office, the first seven seasons. Lilyhammer, we were talking about. Steven Van Zandt, that's on Netflix, too. We could watch a little bit of that. The beauty is, now I'm launching it on my Mac. Works on any computer, but you can also play it on your iPad, your iPhone, your Android phone, most tablets, your Xbox 360, your, let's see, what else? Your PlayStation 3. This is a Netflix original series, and I kind of like this. This was a, I believe it's a remake of a Swedish or Danish show that they remade with little Stevie Van Zandt. Just a great, great
I want to relocate
movie.
In the U.S., it ain't safe around here no more.
You give us Aldo De Lucci, and we'll send you to the goddamn North Pole.
Hey. Ireland's my dad. Why insist that about we thought of saying?
Wouldn't you need a warrant for that?
Dad, long to help you, not us.
It's a, maybe it's a joint venture between America and Sweden. Or Norwegian. And he starts a bar. Like a mafia bar in this tiny little town in the middle of nowhere. It's a really good show. Anyway, that is available on Netflix and only on Netflix streaming. And that's one of the beauties of it. They're starting to do their own production. Lilyhammer season one is available now on Netflix. And you know, it aired on the Norwegian State Network. So I'm figuring this is the best thing I could do to study for going to Norway is watch Lilyhammer.
There you go.
You see?
There you go.
I know
you
all
can
about
do it. At the airport, too.
I know. Anywhere that I go, I've got Netflix. We even had one of those new sharp, beautiful 60-inch sharp TVs. It had a Netflix button on the remote control.
Wow. Oh, that's great.
Try it free. Netflix.com/twit. And if you already have it, and I know most of you do, tell a friend, would you? Because we need the money. Netflix.com/twit. Somebody said, how dare you go to Norway after canceling Game On saying you didn't have any money? They're paying my way. Okay? It's not costing me any money to go to Norway. We actually canceled because I thought I was going to cost me money. I thought, I can't do this. And then they said, no, 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 we'll take care of everything. So I'm excited. Thank you. I don't know who's paying for it, but if it's little Stevie
Does it
Van
matter?
Zandt, no, I don't care. All right, Dick, if you will do the honors, I yes. will show you. We'll play the What the Heck Is It contest with
Oh, okay.
You. Yeah, go ahead.
And one day a week, yes, Dick DiBartolo, Mads Madness writer, the Gizwiz, Leo Laporte, looks under his desk. Now, he had some good stuff for the past few weeks.
Ah!
But what's he going to have now? Yes. What piece of crap on this week's Turn the Table Turkey?
I have to play the other one. I just listen to this over and over again, actually. Oh, look, I found some crap under here. What is this? Oh, cool. It's Turn the Table Turkey. So, Dick, I don't even know what this is. Maybe you know what this is. Take a look.
Okay.
Take well, a look at this and tell me what this is. It's called the microcone. The microcone from dev-audio.com.
Oh, okay.
It's made in Australia. That might help.
Is it one of those devices that can turn anything into a speaker?
Oh, it's close. No. But that's actually, you're on to something. You're on to something. I don't know how you knew from just looking at that. I'm impressed. Well, maybe if I take it out of the box, you'll be able to tell what it is.
Oh, okay. You that's a good clue.
Yeah. No, it's going to fool you if you look at
is
it.
Is it really? Yeah, okay.
Don't be so sure. So I'm taking this out of the microcone box. There it is. Oh, it is, in fact, a cone. This might help. It's got a USB connection. I'll show
and
you.
And it's not a speaker of any kind.
It is not a speaker.
Wow. I am baffled.
Yeah.
Isn't this interesting? So it's USB.
It's USB. In fact, I'll plug in the USB.
Oh, does it send music and video to
the TV? It is a microphone, Dick.
What?
It is a very interesting idea. Now, this is kind of a first look because I haven't had a chance to use it, and I'm going to review it on Before You Buy. They handed it to me for Before You Buy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I wanted to show it to you. Well, right. The idea is it has six microphones in six different directions on it. And so when you're having a meeting, you put this in the middle of the table, and it records each direction as a separate channel onto your computer, on your Mac or your iPhone. Actually, you control it from the iPhone. The remote control's on the iPhone. So, I mean, this is kind of wild, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Now, Leo, it really is for a round table meeting then, right? Because
yes.
Otherwise
you wouldn't do
we
it
get
for a
tons
concert
of external noise. Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't want it for a concert. No, the idea is it's more like I'm waiting. We're going to have a big staff meeting, and at the next staff meeting, I'm going to use this and record it. And the idea is that it's as usually is the case when you do one of these staff meetings that everybody's talking. And you don't know who said what or where they are. Now, the app is available on the App Store. It's not, oddly enough, it's not free. It's $5. I don't know.
Strange.
Yeah, you'd think that if you buy this, you'd get the app for free, but apparently not. So I don't know. I'm going to set it up. We're going to try it. It seems like a very intriguing product. The microcone. And then it has recording software that will record each channel. And it's what they call an array microphone. They also have a developer's section. I think they're encouraging people to write.
So are you really recording six channels
of
sound?
Yeah, there's six different microphones in it. Yeah. Not cheap.
And you can isolate channels with the software?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great.
It seems odd that they're recording.
If I only knew three more people.
For you, this is totally useless. But for me, I think kind of interesting. It's not cheap, $360.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, okay. And it makes no sense to buy it unless you also get the recording software, which they unaccountably charge another $5 for.
That is just bizarre.
I just don't get that. But that's, I guess, because they want other people to write this software as well. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But
so you haven't actually tried recording anything.
I will. I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, yeah, good. Because
I just got back from NAB. That's where we got this. I'm very intrigued by it. So it lets you. It also, I didn't mention this. It transcribes it. They have Nuance built in. So it will. Now, I don't know. It's not going to do a great job because, but it does have speech-to-text conversion. So it will convert the speech into text. Does a keyword summary. You can see on the software, it does different shows who is talking when and for how long, and has separate recordings for each person.
Nice.
Isn't that kind of interesting? Now, if you have more than six people in the conference, you will only know which direction they're coming from, and you probably want to cleverly position everybody around the the table. So that each one gets kind of right in there. But
what is it called? Microcone?
Microcone. And the and the website is dev-audio. Bruce Springsteen.com. Again, a little pricey, but you know, if you think about the application, it's not just for a guy at home. This is for a business where they want to record each individual direction separately. It's got speech transcription, and it does have a remote for the iPhone, so you can control the recorder, and that at least is free. But you can't play it back unless you record it onto a Mac. So you do need a Macintosh for this. It's not. I don't think it'll work on Windows. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting.
I'll use it the next time I'm at a meeting with a bunch of people, and I'll give you a report back. It's too bad it's so expensive.
It eliminates swear words because you don't want to play those meetings on the
air.
You
do not want to play those meetings on the air. The microcone, and I will have a full report on it next week. Actually, not next week, in 2 weeks.
No, not next
week. On Before You Buy. That, my friends, is my turn the table turkey. But no, unfortunately, the show is not over. I know you'd like it to be, but no, it's continuing.
Soon,
and actually,
soon it'll be over soon.
I think you might be interested in this particular Warehouse Friday visit. Because if I'm not wrong, I think we're about to play Taps for something... That was a very popular favorite. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you now to strap on your walking shoes, plug your iPhone ear pods in, and put on some marching music.
Hang on your end peg.
Because here we go to Dick's Gadget Warehouse. Mind the stairs.
They're geeky and they're goofy. Together they are loopy. When gadgets pass away,
uh-huh.
He takes them out.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Dickie D.
Leo.
Hello.
You can go to gizwiz.biz because I put a picture of this up there.
I had one.
Oh, Leo, these are a riot. So it goes back to February 1981 when RCA introduces their new video cassette recorder, convertible.
Look at the size of this sucker.
Convertible, as in 22 pounds for the player and the tuner.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, Leo, that is merely the tuner and the timer.
Yeah, by the way, so blinking 12, just like every other VCR.
I plugged it in and I said, I bet it's going to blink 12. And I had to take the shot about six times to get the 12 on the screen. Oh. So, yes, it has never changed since 1981. It still blinks 12.
Blinking 12 since 1981.
Yeah, so listen to the. So these are some of the press points. The player weighs only 11 pounds. Including the battery, which makes this the lightest portable home recorder on the market.
You could take it with you.
Today, yeah, exactly. And this is really good. The six-hour recorder can operate as a portable for over 1 hour.
Wow. Record your copy of The Brady Bunch. The whole show.
The whole show. And then the object was you could sit the tuner and the timer next to each other for your home convertible system, priced at, you want to take a guess, the two units together?
$1,200.
You're very good. That was very good. $1,400.
Wow.
But, of course, they would discount it.
Right.
And there's more. There's more. Well, actually, there's less.
There's less. Because
if you go on vacation and you want to shoot video, there is no camera. But you could get the RCA CCO10 that had an 8x two-speed power zoom for only, guess?
I don't know, another $800?
Yeah, pretty good. Okay, $1,050. But it had special effects like fade in and fade out.
Well.
Yeah, so this whole thing together was probably like £30 and $2,500. And of course, now the tuna section will be shortly in the recycle bin because, you know, it's analog and it does nothing. Either that or I have an 11-pound clock. So there you go.
I just thought I'd show you real quickly. This is the software. Recording from one channel, and then if I snap my fingers, On the other side, you can see it shows a different microphone.
Oh, there goes the other channel.
There's six channels total. And I just turn it around. I can talk into the other side of the microphone. And then you can name the channel, so I can put a name next to the different people.
That's good.
Yeah. It's for group discussions, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then it will also do transcriptions, in theory. We'll have to try.
Oh, yeah, I would love. Oh, well, yeah, Nuance is pretty good.
Nuance does a good job, but remember, it's not.
Old Aunt was never good.
No,
I never liked Old
Aunt. The Nuance is the one. Yeah, that's the one you really want. Yeah. So, and you can name it and so forth. It's an interesting idea.
I think so.
You know, I thought you were going to mention something else that died this week.
Oh, Dick Clark.
No, well, right? that also. Nope. Go ahead. Talk about him, because he did pass away. I wasn't going to be quite right. So crass. But, yeah, he did pass away at the age of 82, and we'll miss him
for
sure.
Oh, okay. I know.
I thought you were going to talk about the Chumby.
Oh, yeah. I was going to just do a whole Gadget Warehouse thing on it, but we can talk about it.
Well, that's why I thought you were going to do that for the Gadget Warehouse today. But you're going to do that next week, you mean?
No, I'm going to do it the week you come back.
Okay, we'll save it. But just so people know, that the Chumby is no longer. They're turning off the servers.
Right. Well, it's not dead. They're hoping someone comes up and goes, that was the best idea ever.
Yeah.
I want to buy it and everything that comes with it, because it is up for sale.
Well, silence for Dick Clark and his Chumby.
Actually, it's been almost an hour of silence since we started.
I forgot the recorder again? Oh, no.
Oh.
I think Dick had a long, rich life. Man, he was America's teenager for 60 years. And he had a stroke a few years ago, I think 2009. And, of course, if you saw him on The Rock on New Year's Eve, you could see that, you know, he was really happy to be there, but his speech a little halting due to the stroke. And I think he had a heart attack. Just a few days ago. So, it was certainly one of the legends in my industry. And
absolutely. What industry are you in? I'm always embarrassed to ask, but now that you brought it up.
I don't know. I am a coal miner. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what. You know, my mom still to this day says, what is it that you do exactly?
Yeah.
And I can't really tell.
I think there are 1,000 people in the chat room asking that same question.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we go, it would be behoove us to bring in the Jingle Singers one more time for a little ditty we call the Letters Theme. Kids? Duckman says in our chat room, Dick Clark had a good beat. You could dance to him. I rate him a 98. That's cute.
That's pretty good.
I like that from the old bandstand days.
The old bandstand.
We got a couple letters.
Actually, they both refer to the same thing, so I'm going to read mine first, and then you can read yours.
All right.
Thorn Merripin writes, we were talking about that Mad had a record out years ago that every time you played this record, it was on those floppy disc records that was bound into an issue of Mad. Every time you played the record, it had a different ending. And Thorn Merripin writes, you know, we still have that record around here somewhere. It was fantastic. It would start out with a guy singing about it being a great, big, wonderful, super incredible, spectacular day. Then the changeover would occur and someone would come in singing about the worst possible string of events happened to them. And it was not a super spectacular day. I had not seen anything like it prior and nothing like it after. It was truly one of a kind, Thorn Merripin. And then another gentleman wrote, and Leah's going to read his letter.
Yeah, Bob Scott, because we puzzled, how do they do that?
Yeah,
and actually, Mad Magazine wasn't the only one to do that. The Monty Python did it, too. He explains, the way it's done is you lay down multiple concentric grooves on the record. Okay, now this is the thing. You know, it kind of ties back to a trick question that I remember being asked many years ago. How many grooves are there on a record? You can't ask it anymore because nobody knows what a record is. But remember those vinyl records?
Yes.
How many grooves are there on a vinyl record?
Does it depend on how long the song is?
Not at all.
No, really?
There's only one, Dick. It starts at the beginning, and it goes all the way around. But that's what they did differently on this record. For each version of the song, there's another groove. And when you lay the needle down, well, he'll explain it. Imagine you're cutting a master disc. You set the RPM normally, but you set the speed that the cutter moves from the edge to the center at, let's say, four times the normal speed. When you're done, you'd see a single groove spiraling towards the center of the record as normal, but there'd be a lot of wasted space, blank vinyl. The groove, you'd see the groove, it would look like a snail, but there'd be a lot of extra vinyl. It would play fine, but it would only run, you know, a quarter of the time. Next, you do it again. You reset that blank. You repeat the process, but this time you start at a different spot on the outside of the record. That puts another groove spiraling into the center, not in any way interfering with the first.
Wow.
Now we've got two grooves. When you go back, which track you hear depends on where you drop the needle, which track the needle picks when it touches the record. You can add more tracks and more tracks. Monty Python.
I think it had six. Submit.
So they'd have to, you know, space it out six times wider.
Yeah. Right?
Monty Python, it means that you'd only have a sixth of the playing time on that record, but nobody looks at that record and says, wow, that's going to play for 5 minutes. It's whatever it does, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah. Monty Python did this with their Matching Tie and Handkerchief album in the 70s. It had two concentric tracks on one side. I remember my friends and I played the record twice and happened to get the same track both times on the B side. Then we took it over to a guy's house and we were astounded when something completely different came out on the third try.
Amazing.
Isn't that hysterical?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty neat for back in those days.
Yeah.
And especially mad on those crappy little vinyl things. That was clever.
One of our chatters in the chat room said this is also used for children's games. So he said he had a chariot race game that had a record, and you'd play it, and it would call the race. And every time you played it, there'd be a different winner. Webb's 5659. Multiple grooves, multiple winners, depending on which groove you happen to hit.
Wow.
Isn't that clever?
Yeah.
I had never heard about this.
Yeah. Do you remember a company called Cook Records?
No.
Okay. Cook Records, even as a kid, I knew this was the dumbest idea ever. And Cook made the first stereo record that I know of. But the turntable had two recording heads.
Oh.
And with two different cartridges. And the album had the right channel as one set of grooves and the left channel as another set of grooves. And you laid the two needles on it so that one side was playing for the right channel only and the other was playing the left. And there was an adjustment so you could adjust the head in case it went out of whack. And I thought, this is the most dumb thing. But shortly thereafter, someone came out with the idea of putting stereo on a single record using one single cartridge.
Yeah.
But it was a bizarre concept.
You had excellent separation. So Steven in Toronto has given me one of these Mad Magazine. There's a YouTube video of one of them. It's Gall in the Family.
Oh, okay.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I remember it.
It's a parody of the old All in the Family. I'll play a little bit of it here.
Yeah.
For you.
Mad Magazine presents Gall in the Family Fair.
Larry Siegel wrote this, Angela Torres.
Hi there, and welcome to the Middle American home of TV's first and foremost foul mouth for their image, Starchy Bunker Hill, and me, his incredibly stupid wife, Dingling. Each week, we bring you another episode in our lives filled with hilarious controversy.
That's enough. You get the idea.
Yeah,
what's fun is the guy who did this actually matched it to the panels that were originally in Mad Magazine.
That's interesting.
Which is kind of nicely done. So
I think we'll just sue him.
Yeah, I think you should, because that's clearly a violation of everything.
And then I yell at you, and you yell at me. Look, I wink hard all day.
It's also terrible impressions. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. How fun. Oh, and Dale Poco says he just dug out his box of 45s, and he actually has that one. There you go.
The super spectacular day?
I don't know. Which one do you have? Oh. Which one do you have? Because I would love to hear the super spectacular day. That would be fun to get. Wait a minute. Here it is. No, that's the Monty Python. Okay.
Okay.
Well, Dick, we've read our letters. We've made fools of ourselves. I think we can call this another successful adventure.
Yes, by our standards, it's a winner. By our dreadful standards, it's a winner.
When do you go? I'm leaving Monday for Lillehammer. Oh, I don't know if I'll ever come back. Just depends. But I hope you have a great time next Saturday. I'll ask Scott if he wants to do the show. And
That'd be fun.
No reason not to, right? We'll let you know.
No, I'm up for it. Yeah.
If not, Dick will be here.
I can use the same five gadgets today. He probably doesn't listen.
He wouldn't remember. Yeah.
Save me a load of time. I'd love to do it.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. I like doing the show. I just love it.
And I will do a full review on the Microcone with all of its features and stuff. I just thought it'd be fun to pull this out since I just got it.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And we'll Before You Buy, which is our product review show, which we do every Thursday on the network. Won't be this week because I won't be here, but the following week I'll have some recordings and I can show you all of that. Dick, have a great... Is it warm and sunny in New York?
It's about 70 degrees, leaving right like in the next 3 minutes down to the marina head up the Hudson.
Have a great boat ride.
And taking Bob with us, so in case we break down, he can row us home.
All right, everybody, we'll see you later, and make sure you watch the show live with Scott Wilkinson right after the Tech Guy on Saturdays around about 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2100 UTC at twit.tv. And, of course, we've got all 1,362 episodes available for download on the website, twit.tv/DGW for Dave Gizwiz. Thanks, Dick. I'll see you next time.
I'll be here.
Every day.